ahead and start the recording.
It started. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. And I will call to order this online public meeting. It is November 4th, 2020. My name is Sean Denniston, and I'm the chair of the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission. You should be able to see tonight's meeting agenda on your screen. If you can't see the screen, I'll be announcing the agenda items as we move through the meeting topics. Due to the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, regular meetings and public hearings of the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission will be held in a virtual meeting room. This will allow for safe participation by commission members, staff, and any citizens interested in attending. Members of the public and applicants have joined as an attendee, which means you can see and hear the event if you joined via computer or mobile device, or you can just hear the event if you joined by phone. Other event participants cannot see your video and cannot hear your audio unless you are acknowledged by the commission chair or staff and are unmuted. This evening's agenda is planned as follows, The roll call and introductions, minutes approval, public comment, discussion of a proposal to place solar panels at the 78th Street Heritage Farm, an issue with the Vancouver Heritage Overlay, Providence Academy, update on the unfit building determination for the smokestack, committee dates, including the demolition subcommittee, we have new business, old business, and adjournment. So we will start with a roll call of HPC members who are present for this meeting. Commission members, please say, "I'm here," after I call your name. Don?
Present.
Michelle? And Michelle let us know that she was not feeling well, so it looks like she was not able to attend. Andy?
I'm here.
Kelly?
Here, sir.
Greg?
Here.
Julie?
I'm here.
Of course, Sean, I am here. So hopefully you have all already reviewed the meetings and sent any edits to staff. I will take a motion for approval of the October 7th, 2020 meeting minutes. Say your name when making a motion and second, please.
Andy, Greg, I move that the minutes be accepted as written.
Don Trost, I second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Do we need discussion? I want to give the opportunity. All right, we'll go ahead and take the roll call vote. So, Don?
Aye.
Andy?
Aye.
Did I miss my name? Aye.
Yes. Greg?
Yes.
Julie?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. So that is unanimous of present members. So we will now take public comment on any items not on the agenda. Please keep remarks brief and to the point. We'll have 3 minutes to speak, and Jackie will provide instructions on how to give public comment if you so desire.
Hello, everybody. For attendees using their computer or WebEx application, if you would like to speak, please utilize the raised hand icon. You can do this by clicking the participant button or icon, depending on your device, the location of which will depend also on your device. And we have 2 graphics here that show either with your computer or potentially a tablet where you can find the hand. Staff will only acknowledge those attendees during the public comment period who have raised their hand by selecting the hand icon. And when you are acknowledged, you will be unmuted. For those that are using a telephone option, you need to press *3 on your phone's number panel to raise your hand. You'll hear a message that says you've raised your hand, and when you are acknowledged by staff, you will be unmuted, and you will hear a message that tells you that you have been unmuted. When you have finished your comment, press *3 to lower your hand, and you will hear a message that tells you you have done so. And for both audio, for phone users and computer or mobile device users, please do remember to lower your hand so that we know you've already made your comment and we can move on to other people that would like to speak. Okay. I have someone that has raised their hand. Glenn, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you.
Yeah, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
So I'm extremely frustrated by what is taking place at the Academy. And it's clear that there is no way to get through to the city on this. And I don't know if it's a possibility. I don't see why not, but I would recommend that the commission write a letter admonishing the city for the process that took place for the Academy buildings. I mean, we all know in this room how.
Glenn, I'm sorry to interrupt. Since the Academy is on our agenda, you'll have an opportunity to talk about that during that agenda item, unless there's something beyond the smokestack that you wanted to address. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, they kind of blend together, but the second subject is not exactly about the smokestack.
Okay, then please go ahead.
They just kind of go in tandem with in my opinion, disrespected this commission has been in the last couple of years with decisions made by the city. The West Side Bike Mobility Project was never, the city never approached the Historic Preservation Commission on that subject, even though they asked specifically. I mean, you guys made a motion, wrote a letter to the city asking explicitly to be involved in it, and that involvement was never granted. And so this is just one more thing that, I don't know what to say. I'm just so frustrated by the events that are taking place in our community. I guess I will reserve the rest of my comments for the smokestack portion. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. Jackie, do we have any other comments?
I don't see anyone else with their hand raised.
All right. So this concludes the general public comment portion of this meeting. We'll now have a preliminary discussion about a proposal to place solar panels at the Poor Farm. Kevin Gooley of Elemental Energy will provide us an overview. And Jackie or Sharon, can you give the commission some context on if this project does move forward, what our role would be?
Sharon, do you want to handle that?
Sharon, okay. If you're talking, we can't hear you.
You're muted, Sharon.
Sorry about that. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I believe that this is a proposal that Kevin Gooley is going to describe that was submitted to the state, but there's still time for the Historic Commission to weigh in, because this would require a certificate of appropriateness from the commission. So it's early days, and I will hear the rest from Kevin.
All right, I think that's my cue. Hi, everyone. My name's Kevin. Good evening. Thanks for having me. Just to kind of clarify too, there's this project is in very, very extreme early stages of development. We pretty much only have this site plan. Nothing has been submitted to any government entity at all yet. The idea we were hoping was to apply for a new state grant that could maybe provide some funding for it. That application is due within the next 4 weeks, and we're thinking that the time crunch is a little too soon, so we're probably going to push it into the next year, because there's a lot of different approvals that we'd have to receive. Of course, this one being the most pressing one, that would kind of determine if it's even possible or not. We'd also have to receive approval from the county, the county commissioners, also from the Bonneville Power Administration and Clark PUD. So there's a lot of hurdles to red tape to kind of navigate. But to kind of give a little bit of background, I was approached about a year ago by some stakeholders in the Heritage Farm property, people that kind of use it, that they were trying to see if solar panels would be a way to generate some revenue for the property. I went out and visited, and they brought me to the portion of land that they were thinking would be the most appropriate. If you can see in the site plan, it is in the red box there in the southern part of the property. It's about a 5.5 acre plot of land. Currently it's not being used for anything. There's, as far as I know, no plans, no future plans to use it for anything. There is a potential park expansion to the south of that where you can see there isn't any solar panels being proposed currently. So we initially started looking into the idea of a community solar project. Community solar would mean basically that the solar array would be there generating power being fed into the grid, and members of Clark PUDs in their service area, they would be able to subscribe to a program that could potentially lower their power bills. They would basically be sectioning off portions of that solar farm to specific households. We're trying to get a grant in order to help pay for that, which would potentially fund up to $1 million of the project costs if all of the program subscribers are all low to moderate income. And we would the project as it's being proposed now would generate approximately about 2,500,000 kilowatt hours a year, which could power potentially 250 to 300 homes. That's the goal. And as far as what I think kind of the impact on the historical characteristics of the property, as you can see, it's in the southern portion of that property that's being unused. It's out of view of any sort of current existing historic structures or landmarks. It's not near or in any view of any historic buildings, and it's just kind of in this lonely part of the property that's, like I said, not being used at all. The goal is to have this community solar farm be able to generate revenue for Heritage Farms, because right now they are trying to figure out a way to kind of make up some budget gaps in their annual budget. So this is just an idea that those stakeholders had, so we're pursuing it. If anybody has any questions, I'll field them.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions for Kevin?
I raised my hand. I don't know if you see it or not. Do you see any hand raises or not?
Okay, I see. Is this Don speaking now?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know if it's me calling the people raising hands or not, but
I thought it was Sean.
Go ahead, Don.
Okay. So can you describe, is on this map are the limits? I'm not familiar with this property. So where are the boundaries of this property that this is part of?
Right, what you're looking at here is basically in the middle of that site plan, or that middle of that map is basically all of Heritage Farms. If you look at the very northern there's a dirt road kind of at the northern edge. It actually extends beyond that as well. There's a building and a parking lot. And then, I think 78th Avenue is right there. And then, those, all the fields that go to the south of that dirt road, that little bit of wooded area there, and then more fields. And then it gets to, where the red outline is, where the solar farm is being proposed. And then south of that to the very edge of the map is kind of the border. And then that's Hazel Dell Park to the, east of it.
Okay, so the property to the west, where the cars are, is that outside the boundary?
Yes, I think those are cars or homes. I'm not really sure.
Homes, whatever. Yeah, I can't tell from here. Mm-hmm. And then how far does it go to the east?
If you look at the northern, part of the property where the dirt road ends.
Okay.
I think that's the border.
Okay. And where are the historic buildings on this property?
One of them is going to be just outside of the map in that parking lot, I believe. And then now if you follow that dirt road that's kind of cutting through the middle, like if you look at the northern edge and then one that's going straight south, at the edge of it where it starts to curve, there's like a farm structure there, like an old barn. And then like a modern greenhouse. I'm not positive which buildings are considered historic there. I'm pretty sure that the one in the parking lot is, but and the barn most likely is, but I kind of doubt the greenhouse is.
Have you looked into how you're going to transmit electricity from this farm to the homes, where the homes are located, et cetera? Do you have help with that from the local utility, or how is that going? How are you going to actually deliver the electricity?
Yeah, so I've already been working with Clark PUD's engineers on this. And what this will do is essentially we're going to be feeding directly into the grid on basically right by where the solar panels are. So we're not going to be feeding into individual homes. We're going to have to pay for an extension of the line to come up to where we can interconnect into the field. But it's going to be from this to the south of where those panels are, so away from the rest of the property.
Okay.
Looks like Philly has her hand up as well.
I was completely uncertain if that was working. I am so sorry. Thank you, guys. Listen, I'll get this. So I just want to know if we have any reference for any like tribal association in that area or Native American association. I know that it probably would have been notated a long time ago, but I'm just wondering if we have any reference for that for this particular piece of land.
I think I can answer this. So this property is the historic Clark County Poor Farm. So that's what its original as a built property was. Before, there is definitely historic background on Native Americans, which we do have a bit of information on. We've done a lot. This property's on the National Register of Historic Places, as well as our local Clark County Heritage Register and the Washington Heritage Register, so it's on all three. The buildings include the administrative building that's at the north end, that's the main one that sits on 78th Street. There's also a garage and a milk house up there. And then there's also three structures kind of in the middle here that are also contributing to the historic district. And then I also wanted to mention just right to the west of the panels here is where the cemetery, the historic Poor Farm Cemetery is. So I just wanted, and once this becomes an official review by for you guys, we will have all that information as part of the packet, the hearing packet. So let me know if there's any questions about the historic site of it.
Yeah, and I'll just make a note that, that's the reason that the solar panels don't extend further west right there is because of that cemetery. That was brought to my attention early on, so that's why there's nothing being developed there.
So, Kevin, would this solar garden then require, I imagine there's the structural supports for the solar panels, and are those post supports?
Yes, most likely they'll be posts, and we'll probably be just drilling them into the ground, so there wouldn't be any, like, really extensive excavating for, like, concrete pours and things like that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Then I imagine it would require some kind of security fencing.
Most likely, yeah, that would be kind of dependent on the property owner, so Clark County, what they would want.
Okay, I think probably one of the things that I do notice is that since it is so close to the cemetery, one of the things that has been an issue with that cemetery before is that because it was the poor farm, and not all the grave markers were very good. There is the potential for some of the graves to be outside of the cemetery. Mm-hmm. So in the poor farm in general, there's going to be an archaeological potential, you know, pretty much anywhere because of both pre-contact history and then the history of the poor farm itself. There's a lot. It seems like every time they dig a hole in this place, they find something. But in this space specifically, there's the chance of human remains. So that'll just be, you know, something that the project would have to deal with if it does get approval and moves forward. Mm-hmm. The same thing with the archaeological find. So there would have to be some kind of plan for dealing with any discoveries. But the state is going to be telling you all about that as you go through the process. You know, I think that the fact that this array is being earmarked for low and moderate income households kind of creates an interesting connection to the history of this place. And, you know, when we're thinking about compatible uses, I think that that's something that could play in. And, you know, this is away from the public line of, you know, the primary entrance to the site along the north. And, you know, so I think that there are a lot of things in favor of doing something like this. It's also reversible. It can be removed. You know, of course, we're not going to say, oh yeah, we'd approve this. You know, we can't do that for you. But aside from those little things that I noted, I'm not seeing any huge red flags on this. It would have to go, once you have a final plan, it would have to go through the process, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Do any of the other commissioners have questions? And I see that Robert Fried from the public has his hand raised. So why don't we go ahead and unmute him so that he can, if he has a question or a comment on this item.
Can you hear me, Sean? Can you hear me?
Yes, Robert.
Hi. So as you know, I'm one of the board members of the advisory board on the Heritage Farm. And Kevin came before us to initially touch bases on the project. And we thought one of the first steps was for Kevin to touch bases with the Historic Preservation Commission. So as you know, the entire property is an historic, and the historic landscape is related to the agricultural theme over the last 100 years. So anyways, Kevin came before us. We referred him to you guys. I have concerns about the project. I think as it was originally proposed or at least presented to us, that the project, the lifetime of the solar project, 25 to 30 years. And while the property isn't being used now, the advisory board entertains agriculture-related projects on the property. So while there's nothing happening there now, eventually we're hoping that most of the parcels on the property will be used for agriculture. As a member of the advisory board, I don't see how it fits on the property. It doesn't satisfy the guiding principles of the property relating to agriculture-related themes. So I think it has a visual impact to the historic integrity of the historic district. And I just don't think, while I think the cause is a good cause, I just don't think it's an appropriate thing for it. But I think it's important that the Historic Preservation Commission realize that it is the entire property is used. That's my TC.
All right. Thank you, Robert. All right. Are there, Feli, your hand is up again. Did you have something else?
That was probably an accident. Forgive me.
All right. But I see Don's actual hand up.
So I have a question for Robert. So I'm a little confused. Sounds like you are the owner or the owner's representative. Am I correct on that?
No, I'm on the advisory board. My experience, relationship to the property goes back to when I was chair of the Historic Preservation Commission, and we were initially involved in the county's efforts to deal with the land use and the property. And so I've been involved with the property for about 10 years now. And so my main role on the advisory board is the historic preservation component, how it relates to the buildings and the preserving the integrity, of the historic integrity of the historic district.
Okay, so I apologize, but I'm unfamiliar with the history. The advisory board advises who, I guess, is my question.
Well, the advisory board of the Heritage Farm, acts on the county's behest, and whenever projects are proposed on the property, the group or individuals come to us for review. So Kevin would eventually come to us, if the advisory board even thought it was an appropriate project for the property.
So you would have, you would have some role in advising the county on whether this should ever even come before us, correct?
Right. But my initial recommendation to him to come before you is to see the commission's, reaction to the fact that it's an historic district and how they felt about having a solar panel in the historic district.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions? All right. Well, Kevin, we do really appreciate that you brought this to us early in the process so that you can get a sense of what the approval would look like if you guys move forward with this project, and so that we can flag, you know, some issues early on. So that is always a good idea to come early. If you have any questions as you move forward through this process, please reach out to the county staff, either Sharon, well, it'll be Jackie now. And if there's, you know, any way that we can help with questions as, you know, before it might come to an actual submittal, then the, you know, staff is here as a resource. So that will always make things go more smoothly. So thank you for coming. And with that, I think we can move on to our next item. All right. So our next agenda item is the Vancouver Heritage Overlay Providence Academy unfit building determination for the smokestack. And I will be offering public comment as a private citizen on this one. So I am going to turn over the reins to our capable Vice Chair, Andy Gregg.
And Sean, I'm going to go ahead and move you to the attendees.
Yes, thank you.
Is it my turn? Can you hear me?
Yeah, Andy, are you ready?
I need to turn my mic on here.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Staff will now present their report.
Thank you, Commission. Good evening, Commission. My name is Sridhar Nagari. I'm City of Vancouver's building official. We are here to present to you the information we have and to seek input, your input regarding unfit building requests that we have received from the trust relating to the smokestack. We received a formal request from the trust in September of this year, on September 1st, to deem the smokestack unfit. Over the previous several months, over the last year and a half, we've received several engineering reports relating to the smokestack. Those documents should be in the information that you have. These are engineering reports from Carlson Testing, from Olson Engineering, and and there are additional documents from Repeat Engineering. And the reports get into various structural aspects of the structure, the motor, the quality of the motor, the connection, the shear capacity. There are some scan views of that. The reports also address the plumbness, whether the smokestack is plumb or not. There are sections of it that are not plumb. So those are the engineering reports that we have going back to 2019. More recently, we've received additional structural evaluation from RIPI engineers, and that is ASCE. The engineering analysis was based on ASCE, and we also have a cover letter from RIPI engineers addressing the structural aspects of it, the structural concerns with the smokestack. Code does not require, city's unfit building code does not require that this matter be reviewed by Building Fire Code Commission, or for that matter, even with the Historic Preservation Commission. Given the significance of the structure, we felt strongly that it is the appropriate thing to do for us to bring the matter both to the Building Fire Code Commission and to this commission. This matter was referred to Building Fire Code Commission in October. The commission held a hearing, Building Fire Code Commission, on October 27th. You have the material that was presented to the Building Fire Code Commission that includes my staff report and the relevant engineering documents, the code sections that speak to this matter, 1732, the different VMC code sections. When we received the request and the engineering documents, I reviewed it with our team, plan review team, which includes we have Lauren DePalma, our staff engineer. Lauren, myself, and assistant building official, we reviewed the engineering analysis. Also, given the nature of the structure, we felt it was necessary for us to bring in a third-party consultant, engineering consultant, to review the matter. And we hired, we retained Erickson Engineers to provide guidance, engineering guidance on this matter. And you have a document that was provided by Brandon Erickson, the engineer with Erickson Engineers, that is included in the file. We've reviewed this matter. Our engineer and my team, myself, Jerry Newbold, assistant building official, and Lauren DePalma, our staff engineer, we concurred with the structural concerns that were raised, and I made a preliminary determination that the structure is likely to be an unsafe structure given all of the engineering analysis that was provided and reviewed. And that matter was referred to the Building Fire Code Commission. At the end of the hearing, after the deliberations and public comment, question and answers, the Building Fire Code Commission passed a unanimous resolution to support building officials' preliminary determination that the structure is unfit. I'm here to provide this information to you and to seek your input, answer any questions that you have. The primary concerns, if I may take another 30 seconds, please. The primary concerns that are expressed in the engineering reports are, one is the geometry of the structure. It's a 90 plus foot tall structure. It's a slender structure, unreinforced, built about 100 years ago. And the quality of the mortar was poor. It lends the structure to be at a very high risk in a seismic event to topple, to collapse. When the smokestack was built, it was built along with the boiler building adjacent to it. The boiler building is still there in portions of it, and the roof is collapsed. There used to be a built-in masonry buttress between the boiler building, the exterior wall, the south wall of the boiler building, and the smokestack. Over the years, the masonry there has withered away and separated the two structures, the boiler building and the smokestack. So the buttressing support that the boiler building provided is no longer there. Also, as you may recall, there was a hearing held regarding the boiler and laundry buildings, and there was a building official order to demolish those structures. So at some point, the boiler building will be removed within the timeline provided in the BO. A copy of the building official order of demolition is included with the material that is provided to you. Those are the main concerns with the smokestack, the height of the structure, the reinforced nature of the structure, the geometry, the weathering effect that it's had over the connection, the structural connection between the boiler building and the smokestack, and the mortar itself. You will see several pictures of the smokestack where the bricks are dislodged. Maybe some of them are missing. You can see the mortar is pretty much weathered away and the bricks are dislocated. All of these add to a significant structural concern that was indicated in the engineering reports. Given the significance of the structure and the complexity of the structure, state law requires the structural matters relating to it be addressed by registered structural engineers. And we followed that. On the applicant side, we have engineering reports that are prepared by registered engineers. On the city side, we have engineers review it for thoroughness and completeness. That is all I have. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Does the Historic Preservation Commission have any questions for staff?
I guess I have a question.
Go ahead, Greg.
Hi, Sri. Thank you for the presentation. And you may not have the answer to this question, but I'm just interested in getting up to speed on how this ties into the future development that I understand is being proposed for the site.
There are a number of aspects to you're aware, of course. My role is with regards to 1732, the unfit determination is limited in scope in looking at the safety concerns relating to the structure. This matter was brought to my attention. There was engineering reports that was provided, and there was a formal request to deem the structure to be unfit. Perhaps Jason or Keith can address the timing or the timeline for the future development. But from my vantage point, my scope and my review is limited to the application of 1732 as the safety requirements in the Dangerous Building Code and the remedies provided therein.
Good evening, commissioners. If I can just really quick, sorry, Commissioner Greg, if I can just really quick add to what Sri had said. So as it relates to the phase two development, if we end up determining that the structure is unfit and there is an order to demolish the structure, it will be added to the overall SEPA review process that includes the boiler, laundry building, and phase two development. So at this point, it's too early to say, because again, we've only made a preliminary determination at this point. We're seeking input, at which point after the meeting concludes, we'll continue to review and decide next steps. But if it were decided that we're going to be demoed, it would be added to the overall CEPA review process for the phase two development.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Any further questions on the part of commissioners?
This is Julie. I also have a question, just to be clear. So I know that this discussion is revolving around the smokestack, but you also did provide this unfit building determination for the laundry and boiler, and you just mentioned that those have received an unfit determination. And it seems they also received an order of demolition. So just so I'm clear, even though in our last discussion regarding these structures where we made a very strong argument against demolition and we requested that repair or remediation take precedence over any kind of demolition strategy, I don't see or have heard it going to that stage. It seems that it went directly from being seen as unfit and went straight to this determination of demolition. So I want to understand what happened, and was there any intention or was there going to be any further discussion around other mitigating steps rather than just going straight to an order of demolition?
Thank you, Commission Member. That's an important question, important point in the process too. What the code provides for 1732 provides for is a stepped approach to it. First is whether or not the structure is unfit, and it provides several technical definitions of what constitutes unfit condition. And those structures met several of those criteria. Most of the criteria that are provided in the code on what constitutes unfit structure. Following that determination, the code provides, talks about the remedies. It provides the two options, either to repair or demolish. And there are different qualifiers that are provided for. The code addresses where a structure could be ordered to be demolished based on the feasibility, the financial feasibility of a structure to be repaired given the condition of the structure and the dollar costs associated with the repairs. I have reviewed that. I've reviewed the information that was provided with the trust against the code qualifications. And made a determination that it met the qualifications provided in the code and issued the appropriate order of demolition.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Jason.
Apologies for interrupting. If I may also add, so as far as when Shree did, as he explained, ordered the demolition to occur based on the findings per 1732, those boiler and laundry buildings will also be grouped as I elaborated on earlier as part of the CEPA phase two development. And when we do issue that CEPA, there will also be a time for comments period regarding mitigation measures that you spoke to at length at the last meeting. That would be the appropriate time to comment on those mitigation measures. We've been working with the trust to get updated mitigation measures, and we're in the process of some back and forth with them. But at that point, when we do release the CEPA, you know, that will be another opportunity for not only you, but also for anybody in the public to provide comment on that portion of the project.
Okay. And this isn't really a question, it's more of a statement. And, you know, we've progressed down this road over the last couple of years, even before I was a commissioner. And to be honest, I'm so alarmed at these discussions. Our entire overlay is this. Our entire overlay, heritage overlay one, is this entire area that we're talking about. And so to parcel it out as something having value and something being up for removal, I feel completely goes against the ethics of why we even establish that overlay and the intention behind trying to protect our historic resources. And so not necessarily taking the easiest path, but really having the well-being of the community, not just in the current time, but in the big picture down the road, the heritage of all of those people who will be inheriting this space. And we've talked about this at length before, so I won't belabor the point, but I will just say how alarming it is that even though there may be future discussions, it's become clear that the intention around getting this unfit determination really does tie into that development proposal. And instead of simply getting the unfit determination, discovering all the different issues that are occurring with these historic structures, and then how to retain them, how to demonstrate community value and keep them intact. Instead of going that route, we completely circumvented that and just gone to kind of these more extreme measures, which, you know, we talked about this in the past, but we just continue to repeat the same cycle. And it's a very alarming thing for me as a commissioner, every meeting to hear, yes, we know these buildings are decrepit. We know they're hundreds of years old. This is not unique to historic structures. And it's an entire profession of people who have expertise to help get those buildings up to a standard where we can maintain them and we can keep them. And it seems to me that City of Vancouver and all of the discussions around this has shown too much of a willingness to erode our historic heritage, in this, particularly in this area. This plot of little land is historic overlay district one. That's it. And yet we're at this point where we have this order of demolition before us for these two structures, even though I know that there's going to be a CEPA review and some other reviews. So I just want to say it for the record, how alarming it is that that's where we have gone. That's where we are, instead of really working together to find other strategies and methods.
Thank you, Julie. Are there any further questions of staff on the part of Historic Preservation Commissioners? Don, you'll need to turn your mic on.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I have a question for either for Sri or Jason. As I understand it, we actually have no authority to approve or disapprove your order of demolition. Is that correct?
Philip, could you address that, please?
This is Philip. I can address it from the city staff's point of view. Brent may want to chime in for advising the commission directly, but from just a review of city code, that is correct.
I would concur. This is a process of demolition, and it doesn't contemplate a yes or no role for the Historic Preservation Commission. This is my understanding, and Sheree can correct me if I'm wrong. This is brought because of your involvement in this. We want to keep you in the loop, but this is just to advise you of what's happening. Sheree, would you agree with that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, as I stated initially at my when I started my presentation, yes. The matter doesn't require advice or input from the Building Fire Code Commission or the Historic Preservation Commission.
So you're here to tell us what you're going to do, whether we like it or not. That's essentially what this meeting is about. And I resent the fact that we have no authority in this matter and think this is something that needs to be corrected in the Vancouver City Code. So to me, while I appreciate the fact that you're here in good faith, it's of no value to us since there's not a damn thing we can do about it. Excuse my language.
Any further comments on the part of the commissioners?
I have just one more clarifying question. So for the purposes of today, We really are, the intention of this discussion is to be about the smokestack. Is that correct? Sheree?
That is correct. Okay. I've made a preliminary determination that the smokestack is unfit, meets the criteria provided in 1732. When the matter was referred to the Building Fire Code Commission, the commission agreed, and we're here presenting that information to you.
Okay. And then just also to be clear, that the laundry and boiler room that has kind of left the station, that decision to demolish?
An order has been issued. A copy of the order was included in the information that was provided to you.
Yeah.
It was a dual order. It was a determination of unfit and an order of demolition. And there are, I believe, a few conditions of that order. That order included in the order.
So if we take dispute with, you had mentioned that one of the things that would require a repair over demolition would be that economic assessment of, you know, if there would be significant loss if they were to repair instead of demolish. I may be saying that a little bit mixed up, but am I saying it kind of along the same terms that you were using earlier?
I agree, Commissioner Member. Yes, the code provides for economic criteria where the building official can issue an order of demolition.
And so, because that analysis was provided to us and we had opportunity to look through those, if we feel that it wasn't actually, it didn't take other elements into consideration in coming up with that number, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, I feel like the lens through which we're looking at these historic structures is not taking into account other value that these structures have, and it's not taking into account some things that simply aren't measurable. And so if we take, you know, issue with that overall economic assessment, is it just that we state that, or is there something that we can request that goes into a deeper dive? I'm not sure exactly how to approach that, but I feel like it was lacking in some elements that would really give us an appropriate picture of what it would mean, for our community and for kind of the longevity of the economy in that area.
Commissioner Member, I can speak to my role and what the code provides for making that determination. Perhaps Brent can address the options that are available to the Historic Preservation Commission.
Okay, if you're waiting for me. Well, the options are to communicate with the City Council your views about this. I kind of get the sense from at least a few of you that your views are pretty strong, that you believe that there should be more input for the commission, a yes or no role or whatever you'd like to advocate. But under the current code, this basically is just to keep you in the loop of what's going on and you know, the code is written in a way that serious safety issues sometimes have to prevail over historical values.
If I can elaborate just a little bit, too, as far as, again, we're not making any determination this evening on the smokestack. It's to get your input to help inform what next steps will be. We have not gotten there yet. If it's decided that at the end of, you know, after Sheree has had time to review everything, that we cannot make the findings in the affirmative to order a demolition, then we would have to order it to be repaired or remodeled, at which case you would have an active role in reviewing that, just like any other project that comes in the heritage overlay. So just to elaborate on that.
Andy.
Okay. Any further? Oh, Don, please.
Yeah, Jason, pardon me if I'm skeptical, but We had a similar discussion 2 months ago about the boiler room and the laundry room and about our serious concerns. And within 30 days, the order of demolition was issued. So you'll have to bear with me when I tell you, based on past performance, I don't have much confidence that you will do anything after this meeting, regardless of what we say, other than issue a final determination to demolish. And it clearly is a frustration to me and to other members of this commission. It's based upon the fact that we apparently have no legal way to have more discussion about this. I question whether one person's economic analysis, one engineering firm, economic analysis of how to repair and maintain is adequate to make a good judgment by the city about whether demolition is the only alternative. You could probably go to 7 or 8 different engineering firms and get maybe some more creative views, maybe someone who is a true expert in renovation and protection of historic buildings, and perhaps there were better ways, but that's clearly not what's happening. And I know you're under some pressures from the developers who want this down, but I think that we are losing the opportunity to protect and preserve one of the few significant buildings, significant structures in our community. And I think it's a shame that it's going to go through this process. And I believe that a month from now, there will be an order issued to demolish the smokestack, regardless of what happens tonight. And frankly, that just is a shame, in my opinion.
I appreciate your comments, Commissioner Trost. And I'd also like to just point out, too, that I would like for the trust to speak to some of your questions as well, because, again, they are the property owner. They're working with the developer on this. They can address some of these questions as well in terms of where they got to the point with their economic analysis. They did numerous engineering reports. There was not just one report done. So I think, you know, for the benefit of tonight's discussion, I think it would be good to also hear from them and have them speak to some of these issues as well.
And if there's no further comments or questions of staff.
Andy.
Yes.
I just have one quick question. Greg.
Let me see. Oh, okay. You're not on my screen.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, just there. A quick, again, another clarification for Sri and maybe Jason. I'm trying to understand the relationship between the potential actions that the building official will take and the future review that will occur from a planning standpoint through the CEPA process. So what I heard both of you say is that there's a process where the building official will be potentially making a determination, which may lead to a demolition order, may or may not. And then there will also be a parallel or a subsequent CEPA process that will evaluate the potential impact of the demolition of those structures if the demolition is ordered. So I guess my question is, I'd like to understand better how those two processes are intended to work together. And for Sri, if a demolition order ultimately is issued, does the city or does he contemplate holding that implementation in abeyance until the CEPA process can be concluded?
Great questions. Go ahead, Philip. Sorry.
I apologize. This is Philip. If I could probably address that question. So the order of demolition that Sri issued on the boiler and laundry is contingent on CEPA review. So even though the order is issued, they have to go through the CEPA review process before that anything could happen. So to answer your question, yes, it does hold the demolition based on the outcome of the CEPA review.
And that would be for the smokestack as well, right?
If we get to that point, it would be, yes.
Okay, that might point to make clear to the public, because there's a lot of concern about a feeling that, you know, this is moving on a really fast track and before you know it, these structures are going to be demolished. But it sounds like there will be a period of time where, you know, the SEPA process will, you know, unfold. And I think, as Jason said, there will be opportunities for public input, it sounds like, before any final actions are taken to implement a demolition order. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah, there. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm going to jump in. So, but just also to add to that, though, even though people have public comment opportunity, that doesn't necessarily mean that that would alter the outcome, correct? It would just be public comment.
I can't actually answer that question. I mean, it would be a public comment period, but I don't know how that would affect the outcome at this point.
Any further questions on the part of commission?
Sorry, one other question. When is the SEPA review planned? I see on the demolition order, it's saying that it needs to begin March 5th, which is actually rapidly approaching. So I'm curious, when is the SEPA process happening and how long does that generally take, et cetera?
Yeah, another great question. So I also have the planner for the phase two development on this call this evening, Keith Jones, and he can elaborate on that. But when you have planning applications that are submitted, they're required by state law to follow a pretty specific set of timelines, as is SEPA. So if Keith, if you don't mind maybe elaborating on what those timelines would look like, I think that might help help with some of Commissioner Bone's questions.
Sure. So just kind of backing up, the phase two Aegis application has been submitted to the city, and it was submitted back, back in the spring. And so staff deemed that application incomplete because, it included the laundry and boiler building. And at the time, there was a proposal to retrofit the stack. And then, so we deemed that incomplete. And we also discussed at the August 5th meeting about the city's SEPA process. So there's an area of planned action in the downtown area, and that's related to the city's downtown plan, the Vancouver City Center Vision. And at the time, they did what's called the Planned Action Ordinance, and that allows the city, and that was at the request of City Council, that allows the city to process applications without SEPA notice and as a type 1 action, meaning it's administrative. Following that August 5th meeting and the testimony that we received, we decided to not deem this as a planned action and to move forward with it as a full application, meaning type 2 Aegis will be a type 2 action, so there will be a notice on that. There will be a SEPA. We have added the laundry and boiler building to that application. The applicant is at this point updating their application, and now the stack has come before us. So depending on how that determination will happen, we'll need to add that as well. And then we will send out a mitigated determination of non-significance on that is our, and there will be a 14-day comment period. So the city has a SEPA notice list, including DAP and tribes and everybody else. I will send that to the commission members and allow you opportunity to comment on those mitigation measures. Following that, staff will then review those mitigation measures, and based on what we hear, if we think we can amend those mitigation measures, we will do that. We'll reissue the final SEPA. Following that, there'll be a 14-day appeal period, and that SEPA determination can then be appealed to the hearing examiner, and that's a appointed person that does land use review for the city. So that's really where we're at with that process. I also want to just point out what the city's role in this application is, and that's development review. The city does not own the property, so we react to what is proposed before us. And as Jason had indicated, the Historic Trust is the owner. I know they do have a mission for historic preservation. I believe Dave Pearson is here, and maybe he can elaborate on the reasons for wanting to move forward this way. I know that they've, and I'm, again, we're development review. The city doesn't own it, the property, but I know they've invested several million dollars into the main academy structure, and I know they also spent money in removing the Mexican El Presidente restaurant from the front of the structure to open up the view to it. So I would just, again, we're just, and again, Sheree is saying he's reacting to a request for unfit for safety, and so our position is we need to apply the code. And again, I know there was a discussion of maybe that the code is inadequate, but from staff's position, that's, we need to apply the code, and we do have timeframes that we need to move along with, but this is the Historic Trust property, so I would say let's hear what they have to say and what their reasons are for wanting to move in this way. So that's all I have, unless there's other questions.
Any further questions? Would the applicant like to add any additional testimony?
Yes, please.
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to thank the commission for their time this evening. My name is Dave Pearson. I am the president of the Historic Trust. As I was thinking about this morning, this hearing, among other things, there's one thing I kept on circling back to, and it's, you know, everyone on this call here tonight cares about Vancouver's rich cultural heritage. We all have a preservation for historic preservation. The Historic Trust works every day to be the best stewards we can for the Academy. This takes enormous resources. It is a giant building. We have continued our laser focus on everything we can do to restore this building and to do it right. One of the projects that I'm ongoing at this time that was approved by this commission is the restoring of the largest of the north porches. And this includes adding a new ADA ramp to that north side of the building as well. I would invite you to take a drive by sometime and check up on our work. That'll be going on for the next 4 to 5 months. Regarding the smokestack, when the Historic Trust looked at this property first in 2012, we were immediately alerted to the fact that this smokestack was, its integrity was compromised. Nevertheless, we continued forward. We hired the best historic preservation expert we can find for tricky commercial renovations and historic preservation, Jessica Engelman from Meritus. We hired Sarah Architects, and we brought in Rippey Engineers, Tim Agnew. We built the best team we could with the intent that we were going to save the smokestack. We set aside a nest egg for this project. We have pulled together about $600,000, and we moved forward with that. One of the pieces was that we looked at collars for the smokestack and what we could do for a partial renovation, and this was with cables going into the ground. And we looked at that and did four different bids for that. The lowest of those bids was $1.2 million. It went up to $1.7 million. For a partial seismic upgrade to the tower. So unfortunately, since 2012, we have come back to the same place we were when we started, is that the smokestack lacks structural integrity. It is a serious safety issue for the Historic Trust. We are the property owner and the applicant applying for this. Regardless of what would happen in the future, there is an option for a developer to purchase the property. No matter what happens with that, the Historic Trust needs to deal with these issues. And unfortunately, that brings us here tonight. This was a very difficult decision for the board. It is with great disappointment that we are here with an unfit application. However, that's kind of where we've ended up with this whole process. We are working with the city to find out the best way to find the proper SEPA mitigation for the historic property. And we are here tonight to listen to the public, to the commission, and we'll go from there. Holly Chamberlain, our Director of Historic Preservation for the Trust, is joining us tonight as well. Holly, did you have anything additional to add?
I don't have anything to add, but of course we're available to try to answer questions.
Mr. Chairman, that's our presentation. We are more than happy to try to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Pearson. Does the Historic Preservation Commission have any questions of the applicant? Don? No comment?
Bailey? No, none for me.
Greg? Julie?
None at this time.
Okay. All right, although this is not a public hearing. Did I see a question before I got started? Okay. Although this is not a public hearing, we will take public comment over this item. We will now open the public comment period related specifically to the smokestack unfit building determination. Jackie will now provide instructions on how to make a public comment for those joining us through their computer or mobile devices and for those joining by telephone.
Okay. For attendees using their computer or WebEx application, if you would like to speak, please utilize the raised hand icon. You can do this by clicking on the participant button or icon, depending on your device. Staff will acknowledge those attendees during the public comment period who have raised their hand by selecting the hand icon. When you're acknowledged, you will be unmuted. For attendees using the telephone option, you need to press star 3 on your phone's number panel to raise your hand. You will hear a message that says you have raised your hand to ask a question. Please wait to speak until the host calls on you. When you're acknowledged, you will be unmuted and you will hear a message that says you have been unmuted. When you have finished your comment, please press star 3 to lower your hand. And also the same for those that are joining via computer or WebEx. Please click on the lower hand when you are complete. Please note all public comment is limited to 3 minutes per person in order to accommodate all speakers. And I'll let you know if you're going a little bit over. Okay, so looks like we have, I'm just gonna start at the top of my list here. The first hand raised is David Polin. David, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you now.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. I appreciate you allowing people like me in the public to speak tonight. I was born and raised here, so I remember going past that building throughout my life. And I personally have concerns with how many things we're not preserving throughout time. So this is just an addition to other things. An example was that I was attending what I guess was the very first Presbyterian church building, which was now New Heights Church, and they're no longer meeting there pre-COVID because of a new seismic thing saying that it could fall apart. So it reminds me of that. How many things we put a price tag on, I know it's a big price tag. How many things we put on a price tag and we destroy that are our ties to our past, our history. and what few things we preserve is something we really seriously have to think about, because so many things that are precious and important and vital have big price tags. And I think sometimes we do wrong by jumping back and say, ooh, this costs a lot of money, rather than thinking about, what about 100 years from now, when people look back? If we've demolished all the old things because of fear of seismic stuff, rather than doing everything we can to preserve it, what do we leave behind for the future? I mean, we really could. We could completely destroy everything. The old bridge, that old church building, smokestack, maybe some of the buildings on Officers Row. I really hope you seriously, seriously think about what you choose to do. And that's really all I have to say. Thank you for listening, sirs.
Thank you.
Okay, the next person, Sean Denniston. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity to address the commission. My name is Sean Denniston, and I'm speaking only for myself. I've submitted a longer written comment, but I wanted to draw your attention to a few very disturbing trends that I'm seeing in regard to historic buildings and the regulatory process. The first trend that I've observed is a disturbing pattern of the use of the unfit building code and demolition orders by the city. This will be the third time in the last year that the city has used the unfit building code and sought limited review by its city commissions. In each case, the buildings were historic structures that stood in the way of development. In each case, the buildings had some kind of legal protections. The boiler and laundry buildings and smokestack, of course, are protected by the Heritage Overlay Code. The New Heights Church, which was just mentioned, was protected by a demolition covenant restriction placed in recognition of its historic value. And in each case, a subsequent demolition order was able to effectively nullify these legal protections. Due to the broadness of the unfit building criteria and the high cost of seismic updates of historic buildings, this use of the unfit building code would effectively allow the city to strip the regulatory protections from almost any historic building that stands in the way of development. The second trend I have observed is the consistent constraining of the advisory input from the city commissions or even decision making. When the HPC reviewed phase one of the Aegis project back in 2018, city staff explicitly told the HPC that the review was limited to four specific code requirements for the project, and that the broader standards of compatibility and appropriateness set for the Providence Academy site by the Heritage Overlay Code were not relevant. When the commission raised further concerns about those issues based on new information, the city dismissed those concerns because they were not expressed through formal vote at the original meeting. We are now seeing the same thing with these unfit building determinations. The city is presenting these issues in a way to specifically constrain your review. An unfit building determination is a straightforward finding of fact. Either a structure meets the definition or it does not. There is no building official discretion, and therefore there is nothing that a review by a city commission can do or say to impact that finding. However, the decision of whether or not to order the demolition of an unfit building is entirely up to the building official discretion. The code sets minimum criteria that must be met before the building official can order demolition, but nowhere obligates the building official to order demolition. Yet the only reviews that the city has requested from the HPC and from the Building and Fire Code Commission have been of the unfit building determinations and never the demolition orders. On the thing, the city is seeking review on decisions that these advisory commissions cannot impact while specifically excluding them from advising on decisions that they can and should impact. When the HPC reviewed the unfit building determination of the boiler and laundry building on August 5th, city staff explicitly stated that discussion of a demolition order would be premature, even though the demolition order was the critical issue. If you look at the motion passed that night, the commission never formally advised the city not to issue a demolition order. And so on September 4th, the building official ordered demolition of those buildings without ever seeking formal HPC review of that decision. It's important to note that VMC 17.39.040D4 actually requires review of the HPC on proposals to demolish buildings in the Heritage Overlay District. It does not exclude an unfit building demolition order. Therefore, the city's demolition order was issued in violation of the requirements of the Vancouver Code. You may not have the authority to approve or deny demolition, but you do have the authority to advise. And I'd remind you that your strong recommendation had a substantial impact on the city's decision to classify Aegis Phase 2 as a type 2 approval instead of a type 1, which would have sailed through without public input, and to include the demolition of the other historic buildings as part of the Aegis Phase 2 CEPA review. Therefore, I'm calling on you, in the strongest possible terms, to formally, explicitly, and forcefully advise the city that a demolition order for this smokestack would be unacceptable. There are multiple sound reasons for such a recommendation, and I've laid out some of them in detail in the brief I submitted. First, the purpose of the unfit building code is to ensure public safety. And since we have seen that seismic retrofit is possible, demolition is not the only way to ensure public safety. Second, the building official, yes.
We're going a little bit over. Can you wrap it up a little bit?
I will wrap it up. Thank you. The building official lacks statutory authority to order demolition in light of the fact that the standards for demolition under VMC 1732 have not been met. And finally, a demolition order would place a developer's financial interests ahead of the public interest in preservation of this landmark, an interest that is enshrined in Vancouver Code. As a consequence, the demolition order would raise serious ethical concerns about good governance, accountability, and transparency. So please, formally, forcefully, and explicitly make it clear to the city that they should not be ordering demolition. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We also have Glenn Young. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you now.
Yes, thank you again. You know, this thing just... I will be, you know, I'm sitting in this meeting right now, and I am a person who appreciates historic buildings. I'm not passionate for them. The reason that I'm here today is the deliberate intention of an out-of-state developer to avoid public input into a project, to avoid the Historic Preservation Commission. You know, this thing puts a lump in the bottom of my stomach, and it disturbs me. You know, just when you look at it from a standpoint, if I owned a building and I went to the city, I can't picture any valid reason why I would ever go to the building commission or to the building department and request them to deem a building that I own as unfit. The only time I would ever do that is if I stood to gain from that determination in some way or form. I was a bit disturbed during the Building and Fire Commission meeting to hear that the city staff have hired independent consultants to work on this, to deem this building unfit. I know that if I were to go to the city and ask for an unfit determination, and it required an outside consultant to come in, there's no way that I would not be paying that bill. So I just don't understand this whole process. And I understand maybe the way the code is written that you can proceed in this fashion. However, just because you can doesn't mean it's right by any means. I think the right thing to do would be to, I mean, the unfit building has already been determined, but the right thing to do is what Mr. Denniston said. We don't have to order demolition. You know, the city staff should order repair at this point. And that would, you know, bring about the correct process in this, which would mean that if the owner can't repair it, then they will need to involve the Historic Preservation Commission in the decision to demolish it. I just don't understand too, you know, the wealth of knowledge on this commission, why the owner has not gone to this commission for resources. It just doesn't make sense to me. Again, the right thing to do is to step back just a little ways and go about the right process, involve the public in the process the way that they should be. Thank you.
Okay. Next person is identified as Anne. Anne, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you now.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I am very disappointed that the trust is pursuing this action. It is really hard for me to believe the claim that preservation matters when the trust is seeking demolition through these dubious means designed to exclude the city's preservation authority from its rightful decision-making role in demolition approval. I have a question. You have said over and over again that these are the findings of all the engineers. It's so obvious. It's a done deal. These buildings are unfit. Okay. Well, if demolition is such a foregone conclusion, then why not apply for a demolition permit and go through the process laid out in code? It's because back in 2017, the developer said, I don't think that they will allow it, so let's do this other thing. It's in the public records. I've read it. This is egregious. And I'm so angry. I am a Catholic. I love this site. This is my history. This is the history of over a million Catholics in the entire Pacific Northwest. When I envision this site, I envision it being a hub of works of mercy. I see Birthright in there. I see St. Vincent de Paul in there. I see homelessness addressed. I see all these amazing ways that this site could be used again in a good, purposeful way instead of just being sold for money. From a pure economic standpoint, this choice is penny wise and point foolish. The long-term economic downside to this decision far outweighs the short-term economic benefit. So I have a really hard time accepting that this is economically necessary, especially when we are at this moment taking the trust's word on everything. The application for a demolition permit would require them to show in their financials that they cannot do this. It would require them to take the steps necessary to prove with original documents, not just letterheads with their explanation of everything, that this cannot work. You know what? Maybe they do need to be demolished. But you have not proved that. And instead, you have decided to circumvent everything and everyone to get an unfit determination and to have the building official make an order for demolition. I don't want you handling the academy anymore. You guys are not fit to do it. The trust is unfit. And I'm angry. As a member of the public, as an area Catholic, I am angry at the way that you have completely mishandled this site.
Okay, I don't see any new raised hands. Oh, wait, here we go. Becky, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you now.
So can you hear me well?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to put my public comment that I absolutely support this. The commission's statements of questioning, of disbelief of this whole process the city has taken regarding this site. I also stand wholeheartedly behind Sean Dennison and Glenn, I think, that made a statement earlier, and I believe Am that just made a statement. I think it is asinine what I'm hearing tonight. It's like, if it looks like a duck, it talks like a duck, it sounds like a duck, but then it's like, wait a minute, you're telling me it's a duck, but then it's not. Everyone over here is saying it's not a duck. I don't understand this blaringly obvious historical site within our rich Vancouver history that it's being treated in this manner. I mean, for goodness gracious, the SR14 moved its route because of an apple tree. And here, do many people know that? Maybe the ones who've been here a while, but everyone driving on I-5 sees this historic building, grew up with it, knows it. It just, to me, this has been crazy to listen to witness, to learn about. And I think the transparency is failing so horribly. It's an embarrassment for the city of Vancouver. It's an embarrassment to the nonprofit, the Historic Trust. This is, there are red flags where you need to stop what you're doing and you need to reevaluate proceeding forward. You know, I even tagged, hey, the Historic Trust, did you check your Instagram? Did you notice Nicole Curtis of Detroit Design, that she just showed what she rehabilitated? That was, I mean, that you would think had been torn down. I would invite all of you to check it out. It's a building, it was beautiful, that she refurbished. And the city of Vancouver, you're tagged in it as well. This has got to stop. We've got to pull the brakes. You've got to be more transparent. And apparently, you need to be more legal about this.
Okay. Would anyone else like to raise their hand? And for those that have already, if you guys could lower your hand so we know who hasn't spoken yet. Anyone else? And if you're calling in by phone, you would want to hit *3 if you'd like to raise your hand. Okay, Andy, I'm not seeing any anyone else raising their hand.
Thank you, Jackie. Public comment is now closed. Staff may now respond to testimony from the applicant and the public.
Thank you. This is Philip. I just want to address a couple of the concerns about building officials' lack of or statement that the building official lacks statutory authority, or in this case, municipal authority. Under 1732, it's pretty clear that it states that he does have the authority to order the demolition. I think we're arguing a different point, or it's sort of semantics, in that the real argument is that there's some discretionary authority for the building official to order the actual demolition order, but he does have the statutory authority under 1732 or the Vancouver Municipal Code to order a building demolished if it's unsafe or unfit. So I just wanted to touch on that. There was a mention of 1739, which is the Historic Preservation Code. It's the code that created the authority of the Historic Preservation Commission, but 1732 is what's actually mentioned in the Heritage Overlay District, which is 2510. And it does direct the from there to 1732, which is the unfit building code. So I just wanted to touch on those points.
Thank you. Any further response from staff to testimony from the applicant and the public?
Thank you, Commission Member. I would like to just reiterate a couple of things. The code provides for a purpose and intent, the Unfit Building Code 1732, and the intent is to preserve public welfare and safety. That is my primary concern, and I can speak for my team, our team that work with us, with me. I can assure you that is also the primary focus of the staff members that worked on it. No other factors. Who owns the property, the entities, the names, those are not a consideration for us in determining whether or not a building is unfit and the next steps.
Thank you. Anything else from staff? The commission will now deliberate and make a motion in an advisory capacity to the city on this issue. I'll now accept a motion for recommendation. Please state your name so staff is sure who made the motion. And then Sharon will take roll call vote to approve the motion. So, any recommendations?
Andy, do we not discuss first? Or do we need a motion first?
We have discussed after, because now we'll deliberate and then make a motion. So I guess if deliberation equals discussion, then yes, we will. But I think we need to steer our conversation to come up with what message the commission would like to send in its recommendation, what advice we would like to give, as opposed to reiterating the ground we have covered not only tonight, but 2 months ago,
yeah,
in which we had some outstanding suggestions that I can look up.
Sorry, Andy, I don't know this exact formality of this, but I guess I will just simply
work through it, Julie. So if you were to recommend, how would you what would you like to say?
Well, I understand this, you know, the arguments laid out around the unfit determination. I do not, however, agree that demolition is the only way to ensure public safety. So, you know, this unfit determination has already been given. So my concern, and I guess my motion, would be around what is done with that information. And so my recommendation would be that the smokestack not be demolished, and that that not be the next step, that there's other measures to be taken and taken into consideration between now and the next steps, whatever those may be. And I'm not sure how to articulate that.
Okay, I'm writing this down as you go.
What are the thoughts of the
So I have that you would say that the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission advises against proceeding with a demolition order.
Yes, I would. I just don't know if that's the best motion to put forward. I'm just curious what the other commissioners are thinking.
Go ahead, Greg Futh. You got to turn your mic on.
All right, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, I think I, you know, I think we all are in agreement that a hasty march toward demolition is not an appropriate way to handle this. And I think, you know, if we can reiterate that strongly and advise that the city hold any demolition in abeyance pending completion of the full SEPA and planning review of the entire development plan for that site, that is, I think that would accomplish what we're after. Because that will require them to look at alternatives, and we could even add some suggestion that as part of that process, that feasible alternatives to demolition shall be evaluated and considered.
I think it was Jason Nortz who said that the discussion over the eventual demolition or non-demolition of the smokestack would require a SEPA review in between.
Right.
So we were told that tonight that we hadn't heard previously.
This is Jason. Sorry, I'm having some trouble with my video feed. That is correct, Greg. We are, that is the plan kind of as you laid out. The next steps would be, to do the SEPA as it relates to phase two. And we know that both the boiler and laundry at this point will be part of that. We don't yet know what the status of the smokestack will be as it relates to that. So yes, that's nothing. It actually is a condition of approval to the pending demo permit for the boiler and laundry that nothing, it will not be demolished until SEPA has run its course, which will also allow there, you know, as Keith explained earlier, time for public comment and such. So yes, you're correct in what you stated.
Okay. Thank you.
Andy, can I ask Jason a clarifying question on the SEPA review, please?
Absolutely.
Jason, I'm very familiar with environmental reviews at the federal level where I worked for most of my adult life, but I'm not familiar with the state of Washington. When you do your SEPA review, are you required to have public hearings, public meetings? How do you notify the public of your intent? Can you just give me a brief explanation of that? Brief? Because I don't want to take too much of your time, but I have no feeling for how that works.
Yeah, no problem, Commissioner Trost. I'm actually going to refer to Philip for that because I am certainly not an expert in CP either. Okay. And Philip can probably elaborate on that, but so I'll let him do that.
That's fine.
And I hate to redirect us, but I think actually Keith is going to be the most appropriate because he deals with this on a daily basis, so he'll know what he sends out and what the review periods are when they go out. And so I think okay. He might be able to touch on this. Sorry about that.
Jason to Philip to Keith sounds like okay. A play combination.
Okay, Commissioner Trost. Yeah, I'll answer that. So, okay. It will just be a notice. So with SEPA, like the National Environmental Policy Act. So the city would take lead agency because, the historic trust is not a public agency like the port or the school district. So they usually do their own SEPA determination. So in this case, we're doing development review. So the SEPA we would take lead agency and then we will issue a determination. So it's a determination of significance, meaning you would prepare an environmental impact statement. It's a determination of non-significance. And in this case, our intent is to issue a mitigated determination of non-significance. So that's going to be determination of non-significance, mitigation measures that we will propose. We will then send that out. We have a SEPA notice list. And as I had stated before, I will send that directly to Jackie. And so she can, and I'll let her know ahead of time. To make sure that gets to all the commission members. And then within 14 days, then I'm going to need to get comments back from, you know, either you can try to get together and make one letter or however you want to do it and get those comments back to us. Then we will look at those comments. We will consider them. And then if need be, we will amend that mitigated determination of non-significance and add those comments. You know, keeping in mind that SEPA mitigation measures need to be specific and they need to be attainable. And then we will then issue that final. And again, that can be appealed to the hearing examiner. And that's that determination. So that's the SEPA. So the demolition of these buildings along with phase two would be the SEPA. In conjunction with that, we also issue a notice of application, and that's going to be in regards to the phase two development. Part of the heritage overlay requires that we do go to the commission, and it is advisory, and we will ask for your input at that point prior to staff issuing a decision after it's noticed to the public, after the comment period, after there's comments on that development application, and assuming that you will allow public testimony at this commission level, we'll consider those as well. We will then issue that. And that's after the SEPA, so that's a decision on that proposal, site plan review. That is also separately sent to an appeal that can be appealed as well to the hearing examiner, but that application doesn't move forward until the SEPA, if there is a SEPA appeal, until that is taken care of. So I hope that answers the question. If there's others, I can.
That's thank very you, helpful. Very thank you.
Okay.
Keith, I have a question. What do you mean by non-significance.
Yeah, so SEPA talks about levels of environmental significance is what that is. So you issue a determination of non-significance. So the applicant prepares a SEPA checklist, and that has a number of environmental, areas in there, you know, anywhere from historic preservation to the natural environment to, are you going to, basically the purpose behind SEPA is to cover where the city may not have regulations and to ensure that there aren't significant impacts. And really SEPA goes back to the early 1970s. So moving forward until 1990 when the state passed the Growth Management Act, and then there were more and more regulations that cover these environmental impacts. But SEPA, it's intended to be kind of a stopgap and to look at potential environmental impacts. And then the mitigation measures we can add to that to say, okay, we're going to mitigate for this impact. So that could be an appeal. Someone, if the city says, I'm going to issue a determination of non-significance, that could be part of someone's appeal to say, no, it should be a determination of significance, which then means that the applicant would need to do a scoping and prepare an environmental impact statement. That's pretty rare in terms of development. There's probably been, one or two of those in the last, several years, like I think the port proposed the oil project, and that was a determination of significance. I don't know up in Kalama, there's the plant that they're putting in there. Obviously that's going through a whole EIS process, but most projects are determination of non-significance, and that's typically what is issued, but that can be appealed by the public and state that they think differently and that it would need that. So that's certainly something too, or suggest other mitigation measures. And like I said, DAP is on our notice list, so they will be noticed as well. If you remember back in August 5th, we did send, before we were going to elevate this to a full SEPA, we wanted the HBC's input on those mitigation measures, if you recall that. So I did send that to DAP before that to get their input as well. So we've been trying to work with them on that. So that's where we stand. So again, the application's incomplete, and then they'll need to update that to address what the commission had said on August 5th. We will then I'll get that deem that application complete. Again, I'll send out the SEPA notice, and I will let Jackie know ahead of time, make sure that all of you have that, and then, get those comments back to me, and we'll consider those. And then if someone wants to appeal, there is an appeal fee for SEPA, just so folks are aware, but if someone does want to appeal that, that's an option too. So questions?
Real quick, what's the timeline of that? I know you guys said you have strict time frames.
So like I said, we deem the application incomplete. Once we have the complete information, then that is done within 14 days of completion. So we have to prepare that notice, and get it in the newspaper and send it to our notice list and prepare the SEPA document. And so, that would be within 14 days of us deeming it complete. But the application is sitting in incomplete status right now until these issues are resolved. In particular, the application, shows the demoing of to accommodate the development. It shows the demoing of the laundry and boiler building. And so that's why we deemed it incomplete. And the stack is something more recent. And so again, we need to get that resolved. That all needs to be part of as Philip had said, that'll be a part of this process. So.
Okay.
Okay. Well, since we are required to have a recommendation, it sounds like the consensus here among colleagues is that we need to reiterate our opposition to the demolition of the smokestack boiler and laundry facility at Providence Academy.
Yeah.
Which is the gist of our position, regardless of how many subordinate clauses we put in there, reiterating the sincerity of our opposition, and that's just thinking about what Don had commented on our August meeting, that I looked it up, and it was to tie mitigation of these three structures to future approval of phases for the construction of the living facilities that are going to go on at the Providence Academy site. And so it sounds as if we'll have another chance to take a run at this when the SEPA investigation is concluded and we have some findings to consider. I know I'm supposed to facilitate, not speak, but I'm thinking that our consensus is that this Clark County Historic Preservation Commission strongly opposes the proposed demolition of the smokestack boiler and laundry facility at Providence Academy site. And then we could say that again, depending on the outcome of the SEPA investigation.
Commissioner Gregg, I just wanted to just clarify something for folks. Again, we're under statutory timeframes, and so I want to make it clear that once the applicant addresses those requirements, staff has, you know, that 14 days we have to get this out, and I want to get this to you. That doesn't necessarily mean that the commission's going to be able to meet on this SEPA and discuss it. So I think, and again, this isn't, I don't know if a quorum meet is an issue, because it would be a recommendation. So commissioners can respond to me personally, or you can try to coordinate that. I just wanted to make clear that staff is not sending the SEPA determination back here. The application, the phase two application, would come back to the commission. That's part of the code, but we have to go through that. That SEPA has to get out as soon as the application is complete, if that makes sense. So I just wanted to make that clear, if it wasn't.
Jackie, would there be an opportunity for the commission to meet outside of the regular calendar when the SEPA determination is issued, so that we could meet and discuss the issue during that 14-day window?
A special meeting and noticed, and but yeah, of course, you can always plan and schedule a special meeting. Unless some other options, I don't know, that are like a committee that would review it and be able to discuss. Or like Keith said, you could all each review and provide comments, and we could consolidate that. So some options to consider.
Andy?
Go ahead, Don.
Don again. I think the idea of forming a subcommittee to work on this and provide comments back might be the fastest way to get comments back in relation to the SEPA application. And then, if I did understand Keith correctly, once that process is completed, there will be a second chance for us to see a subsequent document. Correct, Keith?
Yeah, I know that all these things are confusing. So, again, I'll run through it. So the application gets incomplete. The applicant, again, we're in development review, so we're responding to what the applicant's going to provide to us. So we deemed it complete, right? So once they give us that information, we look at that and go, okay, and if it's complete, it's complete. Once it is complete, we deem it complete, and then we have 14 days to start this process. So one notice is the SEPA determination. Right. So that's the mitigated determination of non-significance with mitigation measures. It's a document. And then it'll have you have 14 days to respond. And then the other will be a notice of application. And that's only for Aegis phase two as a site plan review, as an application. Obviously the demo of the buildings isn't a land use action. It needs SEPA though. So that'll go out, then that will run its course. if it's appealed, that'll stop the application process from moving forward. But once the SEPA is taken care of, the application will move forward. We will schedule a meeting with HPC for you to comment on the phase two application, and there will be a public process for that, and we will take all that in and issue that, and then there's an appeal period on that. Does that
is help? So is the phase two application review by us separate from and independent of the demolition? The demolition could go on independently of that review. Is that correct?
Once SEPA is finaled, yes.
Okay.
So SEPA will include the three things, and that'll all be one determination, because that was what we heard at the August 5th meeting too, is we wanted these things combined together. And so we listened to that and have combined them together. So, but that process, if you want to weigh in on that process, that's why I'm saying I don't know when that's going to fall in regards to your meeting, but I will communicate with Jackie. You know, we were deemed it complete. We're getting through this, and then once we get it sent out, I'll make sure Jackie gets it. But yeah, if you want to, you know, work to set up a subcommittee meeting in order to respond to this in a certain way, certainly I would work on that. So,
Don, are you proposing that we have this as a separate ad hoc committee to address this issue only, or do you see it as a function of the demolition committee?
I guess the demolition committee could do it if we chose to do it that way. It seems to me we should get the best people for understanding what alternatives there are to demolition to review this SEPA action, because that's our best shot at having some impact on whether it is in fact demolished or not. So, I mean, I certainly would like a member who's not at this meeting or not sitting on this commission at the moment to be involved in that. I think Sean would add tremendous value. And, I'd leave it up to the other commissioners who feel strongly about participation.
And isn't Sean on the demolition committee?
I believe so. I think it's, who is it? Is it Sean and Greg and me? Is that who it is now? Yeah. But I'm willing to step aside if someone else has a stronger feeling about it. That's all I'm saying. I don't mind doing it if that's what the commission wishes, but I'm also willing to step aside if someone else feels strongly about it. But the demolition committee could do it. Yes.
Well, there's some expertise and experience there.
It is.
Go ahead, Julie.
Sorry, can I ask one quick question? When he talks about the applicant, are you talking about the trust, or are you talking about Aegis, the developer? Okay.
And the trust.
It's interesting because we've danced around, it's been danced around this idea that the demolition and all of these questions around these structures have nothing to do with the development, but right here, right now, the fact that it's tied directly into it, proves that that's actually case. The reason for the demolition being pushed forward so aggressively is to make way for this development.
Well, that doesn't surprise any of us, does it?
So going back to your question, Andy, I liked how you worded it. Just that it's really, how did you word it? It's unacceptable for the city to work in kind of demolition.
Clark County Historic Preservation Commission strongly opposes the proposed demolition of the smokestack, boiler, and laundry at Providence Academy site.
Okay. And do we want to, make any other kinds of comments or recommendations?
Don?
I do have comments on that.
Okay.
I'm not sure that I can in good conscience say that I disagree with the unfit building determination. I think just looking at the buildings themselves and common sense says they're in a state of disrepair and the standards of the city for unfit building are met. I don't quarrel with that. I think my quarrel is with the determination to demolish without further consideration of alternative measures. And I think, to me, that's where we stand. So that's kind of how I would phrase it personally.
Am I here? Is it Feli?
Okay. Yes, it is.
Thank you. No, I absolutely 100% agree with Don. My issue is this, because I understand it from a preservation, our job here, preserving our culture here in Clark County. I understand that aspect of it. I understand it from a developmental standpoint as well. Highest and best use is how we're going to get money in the city, how we're going to make money. I get it. But I was really moved by the passion from public comments. It moved me. And so my question is this, is there any room for public interjection? Like, can we get any kind of common ground? Is there any room for the public to have a say-so in the next step? Because I think we all agree that we would like to buy it more time. We all agree that we would like this space to meet its highest, best use. But we would also like to remember what it was and what it is and what it stood for. So what is the consensus? I just want to know, maybe even from the public or Keith, like, has there been a lot of public consideration in what the highest, best use really is?
One of the things, this is Greg, we could recommend in our motion is if we want to make sure there's adequate time for public input on the process, the CEQA document, and anything related to the demolition, advise that there be, that we recommend that the city extend the public comment period beyond the 14 days. 14 days is pretty short, especially, you know, when everybody's got other things on their mind and they may, you know, not be able to focus their attention on an issue until, you know, most of those 14 days are gone. So we could certainly include in our recommendation adding making it a minimum of, you know, adding another week, adding another 2 weeks to make sure that the public has adequate opportunity to get involved.
You want me to... Excuse me, Commissioner Hughes, can I just, is that okay if I respond to that?
Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I just want to make it clear to the commission that the city's role is development review. So we have to follow our procedures. So we did elevate it from type one to type two, which now we're noticing it, but we have to follow those timeframes. So that timeframe is 14 days. That's what our code is. I appreciate the desire to want to extend that, but, you know, we're legally obligated to do that. And that's really the position the city is in. I do want to say, you know, the applicant, and there was some discussion on that, phase two, the applicant is Marathon Development. They're the ones that are purchasing it. And then the trust, it was the initial owner. And again, it's development review. So we don't, an approval criteria isn't costs and those sort of things. We receive a development, we review what the code says, and then we determine that it meets the code and we issue a decision. That's really what our role is in this. Unfortunately, and I appreciate and hear and understand the mission of this commission and where you're coming from, and historic preservation is incredibly important. I do want to just say, though, that the applicant, my understanding is that the development money, and they can respond to that, that the money that's coming out of this development in their view and what they've told me, and again, it's not an approval criteria, that money is going directly into the main academy structure, including redoing of the roof, again, removing of the El Presidente restaurant. I think Mr. Pearson talked about the upgrading of the porches that came before you, and all of that money and the purchase of the property, I think, is going there. And I think that that's really the reason that they're there. I don't think they want to be here either. I mean, certainly staff doesn't want to be here. I mean, we all want to see these buildings preserved We want to work with the commission. That's really, you know, why we're here. But, you know, we've reached this position. And so the position that staff's in particular in myself reviewing this development, I just want to make it clear, I have to go through that. And to the best of my ability to elevate this to type two is what I have. And so I want to, you know, work with what we can in this process to get more public input if we can. But I would also just emphasize that I have to look at mitigation measures. So when I get comments back on those really should be about implementable mitigation measures that this group is, you know, this is the group that we look to as our experts in historic preservation. So we're asking about mitigation measures now. The Historic Trust has asked us to deem this building unfit. And as was stated, it meets those requirements. And now we know that it's unfit and it's unsafe. You know, from a city's perspective, from the staff perspective, that's really what we have to do and how we have to move through that. So what I would request from the commission is, you know, I want to work with you guys, but we have to work with those 14 days. And it would be really helpful to me to get responses back from the commission about mitigation measures. Did we do this right? Or the other things that they could be thinking about? And certainly you can take a position, but I just want to emphasize that. That would, what would be most helpful within the position that staff is in and how we have to move forward. So, okay.
Any suggestions for an advisory capacity motion?
So I would simply amend the motion proposed by Julie to say not that we are opposed to the determination, but that we request the city to consider mitigation measures other than demolition to the extent feasible.
Except to say, though, I didn't actually say I disagreed with the unfit building determination. I was saying that I was opposed to the demolition. And going right directly to demolition of the smokestack. So I think we're on the same page there.
I stand corrected. Sorry, Julian.
That's okay. No, I think we're on the same page there. And I think that that's a good suggestion to find a way to work within those 14 days that the city has those parameters so that we can deliberate like you just mentioned.
So, Julie, are you then saying that the Historic Preservation Commission requests the city to consider any feasible mitigation to preserve the smokestack, laundry, and boiler buildings at the Providence Academy site?
Well, I think more than that, though, right? Because, I mean, that's what Keith was saying, is that it would be helpful if we could provide direct input, if I understood him correctly. So it wouldn't just be, oh, please consider these things. It would be, we would like to work within that window of time for us to get together, whether that's the demolition, subgroup or some group, and they take the SEPA and they work within those parameters so they can give meaningful feedback to them before their deadlines.
So
I'm not sure how to word that, but.
So yeah. The amendment might be not to consider alternatives to demolition. And also request that we be included, though he said that we will, but formally request that we be included in the opportunity to review the SEPA determination that comes from the city.
And so we have
an opportunity to comment on it. Does that cover cover it?
Yeah, I think
and,
so.
And describing quickly, I can see.
Yeah, because I think the point is the first thing is demolition is not something we support at this time. We would like to have the opportunity to see the SEPA report and comment and provide additional input on mitigating measures.
Which they have offered, but let's put it in writing that we definitely want it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to have a collaboration with the city in reaching a decision language?
I'm not sure if it needs to be, I mean, this will all be, of course, but I think the way Don had just said it, can you remember, Don, how you worded
it?
It
wasn't collaboration per se. It was just advising that we understand, you know, first we want them to consider alternatives to demolition and urge them to consider alternatives to demolition as part of their SEPA determination on the boiler, laundry room, and smokestack. And further, to assure that when the SEPA document is prepared and it's sent to the public, that they send it to the Historic Preservation Commission for our review and input, which they've already agreed to do.
Jackie, have you captured any of this?
Sharon is taking notes tonight. So, Sharon, do you have what you have? We also have the recording to refer to. Sharon, you're muted.
Hey there, it takes me a while to unmute. Jackie, I just emailed you the motion. Can you put it on the screen?
Sure.
So, Don and Julie, we want to say that the Historic Preservation Commission urges alternatives to demolition to the smokestack, laundry, and boiler buildings at the Providence Academy site, and to provide the commission with the SEPA review when it becomes available.
Sharon, just put a recommendation on the screen for us.
And Andy, and I'll just say this just for the record, whether the rest of the commissioners agree with me or not, but I kind of want to make it even stronger. I don't want them to consider measures initially. I don't even want it to be on the table. Like, basically that isn't necessarily the starting point. And I'm just talking.
Okay.
So in a sense, demolition isn't really an acceptable approach. Instead, we would like, you know, and encourage them to, you know, do what you're saying, but I don't know how to, I guess I want to state that I just don't think demolition is an appropriate response. I get that it's an unfit building. I'm not debating that. I'm just debating, I guess, on how we deal with that. And demolition, in my mind, shouldn't be the first go-to. So I think this is fine. I just want to make it a little stronger, but that's just me. If y'all are happy with it, we can go from there.
Okay, I'm looking at our parameters here. So maybe we'll say instead of requests, replace requests with the stronger advises.
That when you said advises?
Yes.
It's so tiny, it's hard to see.
Oh, sorry.
Because
hold on.
Because our chart here is to provide an advisory, a motion in an advisory capacity.
Good
so
point.
We can make it the advice is strong, or we could strongly advise. Philae, we want to hear from you, and we want to hear from Greg, too. We want to make this get good consensus here on the language.
How about something like we advise that demolition not be considered the preferred alternative prior to completion of a full SEPA review with opportunities, ample opportunities for public and commission input.
I like it, Greg. Can you say it again? I know when you're checking out the cup, it's so eloquent, and then you have to remember.
Well, I think it's more than like to provide input that HPC would, and that HPC will provide input
right.
on mitigation measures during the SEPA public comment period. And that way we're not We're not demanding, but we're not pleading either.
Yeah, and maybe Sharon got some of that. Otherwise, I can try to reconstruct it.
I know she's got frozen, but so she's out, I think.
I'm back.
Okay.
Okay, I think I caught it somewhat. The HPC strongly advises the city not to consider demolition, but to consider other mitigation measures for the laundry, boiler, and smokestack. And the HPC would like to provide input on mitigation measures during the CEPA public comment period.
Advise the city not to consider demolition, but to consider other measures for the laundry, boiler, and smokestack. Area the HPC to provide input on mitigation measures.
I'm sorry, am I muted or not?
No, we're not.
Sitting here reading to myself. Okay. Fun. I will get this one of these days. I think honestly, the HPC strongly advises the city not consider demolition, but to consider other measures for the laundry and boiler. The laundry, boiler, and smokestack, period. The HPC to provide input on mitigation measures during the CEPA public comment period. Yes.
How about if we say strongly advises the city not to demolish, but to consider other measures? Because then we don't have consider twice in the same sentence.
Well, and the city doesn't really demolish. The city, would be issuing an order to the owner. So it's not really correct the way it's written.
Okay.
I agree.
That's good.
So you wanted to say the HPC strongly advises the city not to order demolition, but to consider other mitigation measures?
That's better.
Or maybe not to order demolition until basically the full review process is done. It seems a little, getting the cart before the horse to have a demolition order before we have the CEPA review and the public input and all of that.
That's a good point, Greg, because right now they do have a demolition order to begin on March 5th. So, this may be, that to be revised if they do take our advice.
Do you want to say not to proceed with demolition?
Yeah, because right now we're grouping them, which makes sense. But at the same time, they've already provided a demolition order for two of them and not for the third. And so...
Okay.
In a way, there's kind of two things. We don't want one for the boiler, smokestack forward, but we also think that the other two need to wait until the full CEPA review is completed and the comments have been provided.
So it's really not to implement the order of demolition until all those processes are done. It sounds like... Okay. They may need to issue an order, but they can hold it in abeyance, which I think is what they said they were willing to do, until there's a full process that gets all the input. And then they could give the go-ahead if the conclusion is at that point to demolish.
Commissioners, if I may, this is Jason Nartz. That's correct. That's the current demo order on the boiler and laundry is there's a condition that CEPA needs to happen first before that can happen. So it's could be the same thing could be applied to the, or will be applied to the smokestack as well. Sorry to interrupt.
No, thank you for your input.
So we've got the HPC strongly advises the city not to issue an order of demolition, comma.
Not to implement it.
And then what do you want to put?
Well, it's implement for two and it's issue for the third. They haven't issued one for the smokestack.
Right.
Okay.
I want to remind people that if a group this large had written the Declaration of Independence, we'd still be at British colony.
It's good job security.
How about the HPC strongly advises the city not to issue an order of demolition for the smokestack? But to consider other mitigation measures and don't include laundry and boiler right now.
Well, that's true because that's my fault because I included the laundry and the boiler in my verbiage. And that's not really under consideration here.
But we could still make a comment about them, couldn't we?
Sure.
I mean, you know, the order for demolition occurred after we had a meeting where we were told the demolition was premature and wouldn't move forward, and then it did. So I guess, you know, we haven't even had an opportunity really to even process that.
Okay. Anyone want to kind of say it out for us so that we can get it down?
I'm writing. I can't speak okay. It, but I can write it.
Okay, cool.
Got it, guys.
All right.
Nice job.
Okay, are you ready?
Yep.
Ready.
Here's what I kind of recommend. The HPC strongly advises the city to defer any demolition order on the, what is that? Oh, the smokestack. That's why I type. I can't read my own writing. The smokestack. Until after a full SEPA review. At the same time as the SEPA review, the HPC would also advise the city to reconsider alternatives to demolition of the boiler and laundry.
Can you read that again slowly?
Does that make sense first? Yes, I can. I can read it again. The HPC strongly advises the city to defer any demolition order on the smokestack until after a full SEPA review. At the time of the SEPA review, the HPC would also advise the city to reconsider alternatives to demolition of the boiler and the laundry.
The HPC would also advise the city to reconsider alternatives?
Alternatives to demolition of the boiler and the laundry, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, make it prettier.
My one question / comment would be the first sentence where it says defer any demolition order on the smokestack until and after a full CEPA review? Do we mean?
Just after, not the end can be struck.
Okay. Until after a full CEPA review. But we also want to comment, right? So after a full CEPA review and HPC has had an opportunity. Oh.
That sends us to.
Oh, you said it. Sorry. Yeah. I haven't seen the whole thing. Sorry.
Team, what about, in tandem? It doesn't have to be, but the HPC strongly advises the city to defer any demolition order on the smokestack until a full CEPA review. In tandem with the CEPA review, the HPC would also advise the city on alternatives to demolition of the boiler room and laundry structures.
That's good.
Okay.
Do we also want to provide alternatives to demolition to the smokestack, or are we just saying that if that becomes, that's on the table later, then we would address it? Or do we want to include it here in the event that it's part of the, review?
I think you could include. For clarity.
The HPC would also advise the city on alternatives to demolition of the boiler, laundry, and smokestack structures.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Where would that go?
It is the second sentence.
Okay.
HPC would also advise the city on alternatives to demolition of the boiler, laundry, and smokestack structures. Okay. Do we want to say the HPC would like to advise the city on alternatives or request? It sounds a little funny. The HPC would also advise the city on alternatives, or are we trying to make that statement? Like at this time, we will also then advise you.
I think we're saying advise the city to consider alternatives, or okay. Is that what we're saying? I think that's our intention.
Advise the city on.
Okay. Advise the city to consider alternatives.
Commission. Sorry to interrupt. This is Philip. Just so you know, the first sentence, the HPC strongly advises the city to defer any demolition order until a full CEPA is done on the smokestack. The CEPA wouldn't be triggered until the demolition order was issued. So you may want to consider rewording that if you want it to have the effect you're looking for.
So it's defer.
Thank you. That's a good point.
So it's defer implementation of a demolition order, right?
Oops. Is that right?
Don, you're muted.
I think that what he was saying is that ultimately the CEPA review would only happen once the demolition is ordered. So I think we need to find a way to consolidate that request, make it one thing. The HPC strongly advises the city to defer any implementation of demolition order on the smokestack. What would the word be?
Wait, I'm sorry, but we do have a demolition. Oh, sorry. Never mind.
And maybe Philip can tell us if that language makes sense to them.
This is Philip. I think the adding implementation would suffice to meet what you're trying to do. That way the order, if it were issued, one of the conditions would be that it wouldn't be implemented until the full CEPA review was done, assuming that's what you're going for on that first sentence.
So, Philip, as part of that review, is it possible that you'd reconsider demolition altogether?
I don't believe that would fall under the scope of CEPA. But, you know, this commission could certainly comment on that.
Which is what we're basically saying in the second sentence.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Have we worn this one out yet?
Yeah, Andy, what do you think? Should we move forward?
I'm making sure everybody's got their input on this motion. So I want to make sure we feel like we have reached consensus and stated it as you wish. So I'm trying to be patient.
Sorry, this is Philip again.
And we need them.
You may want to consider after the in tandem of the CEPA review, the HPC will also advise the city to consider alternatives to demolition of the boiler and laundry and take and smokestack out of there, because I think you addressed that in the first sentence.
Right. Good. So just the boiler and laundry structures.
Well, except we do want them to consider all to the demolition of the smokestack. Right?
Yeah, I thought we did, yeah.
Okay. So the next step then would be is if somebody would like to make a motion that we move forward with this advisory vote.
I will so move.
It's been moved that we
second.
Make this recommendation. And it's been moved and seconded that we make the recommendation, and I'll read it for the record. The Historic Preservation Commission strongly advises the city to defer any implementation of a demolition order on the smokestack until a full CEPA review. In tandem with the CEPA review, the HPC would also like to consider alternatives to demolition of the boiler, laundry, and smokestack structures. The HPC will provide input on mitigation measures during the CEPA public comment period. Any further discussion? If not, it's been moved and seconded. Please state your name so that staff is sure who's saying yay or nay. And Sharon, please take a roll call vote to approve the motion.
Okay. Julie?
Aye.
Craig, food?
Yes.
Kelly?
Aye.
Andy?
Aye.
Don?
Aye.
The motion has been unanimously approved. And at this time, it is my pleasure to return the gavel to Chair Sean Denniston. Thank you, everybody. It was well done.
Oh, I'm sorry, Andy, I missed who made the motion finally and who seconded it? I missed that.
Don
was moved by Don and seconded by Greg Foos.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for all of your time on this issue. So we are going to move on to new business. We have a brief update on the 2020 Cultural Resources Summit from Feli.
You guys are too kind for extending me a little bit of time. Honestly, I was slightly taken aback by my experience. It was excellent. I was really glad to be a part of the cultural. It was a preservation summit that was hosted by the Suquamish tribe. I really just have a lot of interest in understanding what other cultures are going through, what their struggles are, what's happening with them. I know my own. I know, we're in an absolutely crazy time in the world, and I really just want to see like how far we're really getting, right? Unfortunately, we're not getting very far. The native cultures are still dealing with a lot of adversity. I got to attend about 3 of the sessions on the second day. I would be glad to reserve a little more elaborate insight to what I learned. I know that we're probably like a good half an hour over, and I know that we all have things that we probably want to get to, because I would like a little bit more time to elaborate on what I took from that situation and how I feel that we should really be implementing ourselves more in summits like that and other things in our community as far as historic preservation goes. But the overall that I took from it is that we need to do more. We have a huge responsibility as Preservation Commission board members to really, really dig deeper into the history of what we are talking about. Because at face value, we all know there's a lot of Native American history here. I mean, it was literally their country. And I really feel like we need to rectify a lot of that on an actual meaningful basis that makes sense on a consistent level for us to ever really be a great country. And I would love to elaborate at another time on what I really mean by that. I got to speak with Jackie about a couple of things, and I'm really interested in creating a subcommittee for underrepresented cultures. And I want to take another opportunity to dive into that a little bit more, if that's okay, team.
Wow.
Was that what?
Sounds good to me.
I think yes, absolutely.
Yay. No, there's a lot. I mean, there's really a lot. And, you know, it was a brief bit of time that I got to spend on that, but I was really, really, grateful that I did. It was kind of a slap in the face of, you know, how little I know and how little I am aware of other cultures and how much we really need to be. And so I'm excited, but, yeah, I would love to take another time to dive into that a little bit more with you guys.
All right. I'm so glad that that has elicited such passion. That's always a good sign. Why don't we go ahead and put it on the agenda for next time, the discussion of a subcommittee and what we would hope to accomplish with that subcommittee based on what you've experienced, you know, from that. And then, of course, the input of the other commissioners of anything that they can bring to that discussion as well. You know, I think that sounds like a great idea. Is there any other questions for Feli? Keeping in mind that we are going to do a, give this the discussion that it deserves.
100%. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate for the opportunity, truly. Thank you.
All right. Staff, do we have any other new business that we need to cover?
Did you want to quickly do that demolition subcommittee update?
Yeah, so let's go ahead. It sounds like we have a brief update from staff based on our outreach to the director.
Right. So we did send your proposal over to our community planning director. Like we explained, I think Sharon presented last month that there's a process to get, you know, the code updates and things on our department's work plan. We are pretty maxed out for 21. And so he's suggesting that we move forward with kind of that first step of doing the permit process, fixing the permits, and kind of that initial issue that Alex had brought up about that once, you know, structures are demolished in the county, that record is gone and the ability to do that research is not publicly accessible. For example, as an archaeologist, he would be out in the field, and if there was a structure that used to be there, he would like to put that as part of his report. But if the county's records are no longer accessible because it's been demolished, that information is no longer there and cannot be put forward in learning more about what the history of the built environment was. So we would like to, for 21, and I think I just froze, so forgive me if I might have to come back in. But we would like to move forward with the permit, looking at the permit for the Clark County's development on demolitions and making some revisions to that so that we can go ahead and beef that part up for getting that information of structures on the record and accessible. So that's kind of what we have as the update for that. Is there any questions?
So either at a future meeting, whether that's next month or not, staff would be able to bring back, this is what can be done non-legislatively, and this some more specifics to the changes that could be made to the forms, and then I guess also a discussion of the process in GIS.
Correct. Yes, I'll do that.
Okay. And is there any need for our demolition subcommittee to do anything on this in between now and then?
I don't think so. I'll definitely want the committee's help when we're looking at getting feedback on, you know, what additions or changes we'd like to see on the demolition permit. But I don't think anything's necessary on this for that. So.
Okay. Any other questions for staff on this? All right. Well, hearing none, and in light of the hour, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think she announced it, but today or tonight is Sharon's last Historic Preservation Commission meeting with us. So I just wanted to let us give her a shout out that we're going to miss her and thank her for everything she's done since she's been here for this group. So she's going to be missed for sure by me.
Best wishes for every success, Sharon. We'll miss you.
Yes, thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon.
Thank you so much, Sharon.
Can we ask where you're going? You have any fun plans? Where?
Thurston County.
Where's that?
Olympia.
Olympia.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Congrats. We'll miss you.
Thank you. I'll miss all of you, too.
Sean, I have one thing I wanted to mention. We talked when we talked about the smokestack about how we're going to provide meaningful comments in a 14-day window. And I would suggest, I don't know that we need, is that going to come up before our next regularly scheduled meeting? I don't think so, is it?
No, I don't think so.
It seems unlikely since it's still an incomplete status. They have to get it to a complete status first.
What I would recommend is that we put as either, I think it would be new business for next month, a chance for as a commission to discuss how the process we want to use to respond. Because if in 14 days, it seems to me crazy to send it out to 7 members and get 7 comments back. And anyway, I've just asked that we put it on the agenda for next month.
So, Sharon, I would imagine that we could vote to authorize a subcommittee to put together a formal response, couldn't we? Kind of give them the parameters for the response and then authorize them to do it with a vote during a regular meeting?
I think so.
You could, yeah.
So, let's go ahead and put that on the agenda for next month. Both having the discussion of the parameters for that committee and then voting to authorize them to do that so that they are ready to do it when the time comes.
Excellent suggestion, John.
Okay, got it.
All right. Anything else, Jackie?
Nope. That's it.
All right. So actually, we don't need a motion to adjourn. I can just adjourn us. So if I remember right from our rules. So good night, everyone. Thank you for staying late. And we will talk to you next month.
Bye-bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.